Begin the current daf from Masechtos Ksubos daf Chav Dal. Begin on the bottom of Chav Gimel and Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the entire Perek. Where the Gemara begins, before it explains the Mishnah that I left off with, it asks the following question. Kol Hami, all these Mishnayis that we started off in this Perek, that we mentioned this fundamental principle of what's called Pesha Asa Hu Pesha Hitter, which means to say that if the mouth that made something forbidden based on his own testimony could be the same mouth that then qualifies and says that it's permitted. We had all these cases starting with Rabbi Yeshua admitting to Sadezu Shalavicha, it's your father's, it's Pesha Aser, but I bought it from him. So too we have the case of Edim, where they say Ksav Yudeinu, who's there, this is our signature, but Anusim Ayinus, although they're being Mekayim Deshtar, but at the same time they're disqualifying it, or a woman that says Eshes Isha Yisi, I was a married woman, but I was Grusha, I became divorced, or the case of Shavui, where she says, look, no one knows this, but I was in captivity. However, and this is the Pesha Hitta, she qualifies and says, but Tahirani, I never had be with them. Or the last case, which we just described in the previous Mishnah, regarding the case of Truma, where we say there that they're not believed, regarding because there is no Pesha Aser to say Pesha Hitta. And then there's a qualification of when one is believed to the other. Why do we need, as the Gemara asks, Lomali, why do we need all these Mishnayis that seemingly are saying the same idea? So that the Gemara says, Tzrichi, we need all these Mishnayis, and they're each teaching a specific halacha. As the Gemara explains, De'itana Maid Rabbi Yeshua, had we only had the first Mishnah of the Perek, which talks about the Rabbi Yeshua admitting to Rabbi Gamliel, although I disagree with you regarding the Miguis that you were talking about, I agree regarding the Migui of Pesha Asu Pesha Hitter, which is when someone tells his friend, this was your father's field, says Pesha Asu is creating a liability. Oh, it's my father's? Yes, but I bought it from him. Maybe over there, we say this concept of Pesha Asu, because there's a financial involvement over there. And that is, there it's obvious that this person definitely bought it from this guy's father. And because he wouldn't say this was your father's to cause himself a loss of money. So therefore, obviously when he started off his sentence saying, this is your father's, obviously it was with an intention and concluding by saying, yes, but I bought it from him. And therefore, that's why it makes sense to say over there, Pesha Asu, Pesha Hitta, because when there's a loss of money, we definitely know that a person's intention is to then end off the sentence like that. That's part of the concept of Pesha Asu, Pesha Hitta. Aval Eidim, but then the next Mishnah, which talks about when witnesses say, Ksav Yudein Huzeh, they verify the document by saying, this is our signature. Deleka Dara Demimainu, we're there. There's no loss of money for the witnesses themselves to say that this is going to cause them a problem. So maybe a malai, maybe we should not believe them to then qualify what's called a pesha hitter to say, oh, but anusim yinu, o ketanim yinu, psum yinu. And the reason is because when they originally said ksav yedeinu huzeh, it was with the intention of saying testimony, of verifying the document, not to conclude, but we were anusim. And rather, when they do conclude, but we were anusim, that is actually a retraction from what they earlier said. And therefore, who said we should believe them? That's the chiddush. Well, we have to have the next case of Edim, where although it's not definitely when you started off your sentence you were going to conclude with the Pesha Hitter, which you have by Dara de Mamayna, because obviously you're not committing to create a liability for yourself. But by Edim, it's not a liability for themselves. Maybe we would say not. So that's the chiddush, that even there we say Pesha Asu, Pesha Hitter. Now, Ve'itana Edim, if we only had the Mishnah regarding the witnesses, we would say only over there we would say Pesha Asu, Mishum Dila Alma. And the reason is because the qualification of saying avla nusum yinu, that doesn't help them for themselves. It's rather fa'acherim, it's for others. It's to help out whoever it is that, I don't want to create a liability for this borrower if it never happened. So therefore, for the others, we'd say he's not retracting. Obviously, this was his intention because he wouldn't go ahead and change and retract what he had originally meant to say if it's just to benefit someone else. So maybe over there we believe him with the Pesha Asur. Avalihu, but the person himself, Dilanav Shei, where when he retracts and says, Likachtia, that, oh, it's your father's, but I purchased him, that's to cover his own skin. And therefore, as we continue to have Dal Manav, maybe Emeloi, maybe over there we would not say Pesha Asur. That's why we needed the case of Sadezu Shalavicha to say that, no, even over there when it's for himself, we will say Pesha Asur Hu Pesha Hitter. Now, so the Gemara says, Viyash Min Hanatarti, and if we only had those first two Mishnayos, that of Dara de Mamayna, and that of when it's la'acherim, meaning regarding the case of sadatu shalavicha and of ksavi deinu huzam, we would think over there that they believe to say because of pesha asa mishem de'memayne, because at the most that it is, we're talking about financial issues, monetary law. Aval eishes ish di'isur, but regarding the next mishnah where it's regarding a married woman, which is a biblical prohibition, maybe we won't come with these fancy claims of, oh, believe me, since I could, I didn't have to say pesha asu pesha yetet. No, we're talking about isurim, we don't believe. For financial law, then we'll believe. But regarding the isur, maybe we'd say not. That's what we have to say. The case of Eishes Ish, no, even over there, a woman is believed to say that I'm not married anymore because I'm the one that said that I was married. I'm believed to say that I was divorced. But now moving on, the Gemara asks, but what's with the next case that the Mishnah is bringing? Why do we need the case of when a woman says I was taken in captivity, but I'm tahar? What's that necessary for to teach the halacha of pesha asur? That's seemingly the same halacha of isur that would apply, which we already learned from the case of Eishes Ish. So now the Gemara answers, Mishum de Kabbalah Lemisni. The truth is why we had to say that wasn't for the pesha asur component of that, because that we already know from the case of Eishes Ish. But rather, it was to teach what the Mishnah there concludes. The Mishnah in the Chav Beis HaMelav concludes, Ve'im Mishanissis, and if they already got married, Bo Edim, then witnesses come and say, so then Arizu Loi Teitze. Then, even though now essentially she loses her Pesha Aser, because what she had been stating as the problem, she then qualifies, we don't really need her anymore, because we're witnesses stating the problem. So therefore, that's we needed for that Chiddush to say that although she said that I was taken in captivity, she's believed to say that it was Tahira, only based on Pesha Aser, now the witnesses come and say, we saw you in captivity, therefore there's no more Pesha Aser, but once she's already married, or as the Gemara there explained that even permitted to marry, then we don't remove that permissibility anymore. And we need it for that Chiddush. Now the Gemara asks, Hanicha Lamad Demasni La Seif, that works according to the one, there was a Machlekes in the Gemara over there, what is this qualification of the Gemara of Ve'im Mishanesis Bo Edim, the Harez Loi Teitze, that if it's going on the Seifa, which was regarding the case of the Shvuya, or is going on the Reisha, regarding the case of the Eishes Ish, but saying that I'm a Grusha. So that's very well if according to the one who says that it was only going in the Seifa regarding Shvuya, because as the Gemara there explained, because by a woman in captivity, we were lenient, and therefore, okay, although you really lose your essentially your Pesha Asa, because we already have witnesses telling us the problem, but once already permitted to you, we'll let you maintain that relationship. But regarding the case of Eishes Ish, actually, that Manda Amah held that we wouldn't be lenient. So therefore, this qualification that we wanted to teach as Chiddush is true. We would only know in Shvuya, and that's why, therefore, we have to say the whole case of Shvuya. But Elaman de Masni La Reisha, but according to the one, Rabbi Oishi, that learns the qualification of the Mishnah even on the case of the Reisha, that even by an Eishes Ish that said that she's divorced, and then witnesses come afterwards and say, oh, we know you're Eishes Ish, and therefore you lose your Pesha Asa. Even there, Rabbi Oishi says that will let her stay with the new marriage, and Kol Shekin most definitely would apply by the case of a woman in captivity. So Maya Kalamem, but what are you going to say over there? According to that explanation, there's no need for the case of Shvuya. You don't need Shvuya for Pesha Asa, because that you already know from Eishes Ish. And you don't even need it for the qualification of the Mishnah, of the Mishanissis, that Harez Loi Teitze, because you already know that from the Reisha too, which Kol Shekin, the case of Shvuya. So I think my answer is you're right. You don't even really need it for that Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis and Alf. But it's Mishum de Kabbalah Lemisni, it's because we wanted to teach the other Mishnah, which was our later Mishnah, which we quote over here on Chav Gimel Beis, regarding Shtei Noshim Shenishba, regarding two women that both of them were taken in captivity, where the Mishnah teaches us that when each woman captive testifies regarding her female friend, that she knows regarding her friend that she wasn't Temeya, that she didn't have be with the captors, then she's believed. And that was the necessity of bringing in this whole case of women in captivity, not for the halacha pesha aser, and not for the halacha of harizu loy teitze, but rather regarding the, each one is believed regarding the other one. But that the Gemara asks, but that itself, or shtei noshim shenishbu lamali, why do I need that later Mishnah too, as Taisa explains, because if you would think it's teaching us that each one is believed regarding her friend, well, that's an explicit Mishnah of Chav Zayinim and Aleph, that it doesn't make a difference who the other person is, whether a slave, a maidservant, all those types we are lenient regarding Shvuya, that we believe them. So what would be the special Chiddush in our Mishnah regarding another woman in captivity to believe regarding her friend? So I think my answer is no, there was a specific Chiddush in that. Because ma de tema nechus legaimlin, you would think to say that maybe, yes, generally, no matter who the person is, a woman, a slave, is believed regarding this woman that she was not nitma, but here maybe you would think it's different. Because both of them are in cahoots. They'll say, look, you say about me that I'm Torah, I'll say about you that Torah, because one person is believed, because they were both in captivity. That's the chiddush, that's a novelty of our Mishnah of Gamal and Beis that says, no, we're not concerned for that, and therefore each other woman is believed regarding the other one to say that she's Tahira. Now, concluding this discussion, the Gemara asks, but what's with our last Mishnah that we quote on the bottom of Gamal and Beis? What do we need this Mishnah of two men regarding that each one says regarding the other one that he's a Kayin? That is believed regarding Truma, what is that necessary for? That we already know from the previous Mishnah of the two women in captivity. So the Gemara answers, Mishnah, the Kaboy, Lemis, Nipluk, the Rebhud Rabbanan. The reason why we needed our Mishnah was because we wanted to teach us this Machlaikas, Rebhud Rabbanan, if it's true that we're Malan Le Kahuna, Apiyat Echad, where one person says regarding the other one that he's a Kayin, would that work or not? Because that's actually a Machlaikas, and our Mishnah had to record that. Where actually the Gemara brings and expands upon this machlekes in the following braisa. Tarabon, Olena braisa. If a person says, Ani koin v'chaveri koin, I'm a koin and my friend's a koin. So neman lachila b'truma, he's believed to have his friend eat truma, because as the opinion of the chacham were in our Mishnah, where you could be ma l'kun al p'yei rechad, and we're not even cheshish l'gaimlin, v'ein l'neman l'asi isha, but he's not believed to have this man, who he's claiming is a koin, marry a woman miyuchases, that has pure lineage, and that's, as Rashi explains, it's a maila, it's a certain elevated halachic status we required for Yuchsin, that although he's believed to make him a kohen, but not for the halachas of Yichus, of marrying a woman of pure lineage, to say that he's a kohen, maybe he's not a kohen. Now, for that, to require marry a woman of Yichus, that would be Achiyu Gimel, until there's three of them. Now, up until now we were saying there's two people. He said about him, and he said about him. To require marriage of Yichus, you would need to have three people, each one claiming that him and his friends are kahanim, as the Bryce explains. Shnayim Eden al Zeh, you would have the two other guys saying testimony about the third guy. The Shnayim Eden al Zeh and the other two saying about the other one. Then each one of the three guys will have two people saying about him. So two people, that already two witnesses will work to validate him as a kohen, even for the matters of Yichus. Now Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, af einan nemen l'achila b'truma. Even when there's just two people, he's not believed even one for the other one, as it's recorded this in our Mishnah, this Machlekes, which this Bryce is elaborating on, that even for Truma doesn't help one for the other. Until there's three. Where Shnayim Me'id Mazeh, Shnayim Me'id Mazeh, where you have two for one, and then two for one, then it will work not only for Yichus, but even for Truma requires to have two witnesses testifying as a kind. The Gemara asks, and the Gemara's assumption, what it sounds like is that the reason of Rabbi Yehuda why he doesn't allow to be mala to Truma, even when there's one for the other, is because he's concerned about what's called gaimlin, because each one will just say about the other one, he's a kain, because each one will then help each other, but maybe they're not really counting. Now that the Gemara asks, L'memer de Rabbi Yehuda chayish l'gaimlin, is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda's concerned for one person helping out the other person inappropriately? And Rabbana loichayish legaimla, and that the Rabbana are not concerned, because we see Rabbana say one could testify with the other, and Yehuda says not. But that the Gemara asks, but ipcha shamin lehu, but we actually learned the exact opposite. It's not like learning the Mishnah Maseches Demai. The Mishnah says, hachamorin, donkey drivers, where they are the ones that would carry merchandise of grain, and they would take it from the cheap places, and they would bring it to the cities where they could sell for a profit. So if these donkey drivers, shenichnusu le'ir, if they come into a city, Vamar Echadman. Now, one of them, he says, and he's praising his friend's produce, and his own, he's saying, yeah, but mine's not good. Now, he says, Shali Chadash, mine is new, it's not dried enough, and therefore it's not going to be such good grain, but Vishachaveri Yashin, my friend, he's got the goods. His is old, it's dried out appropriately, and as Rashi brings from the Gemara Bamitzi, where when it's dried out, it's better than the new crop. Shali ain't a mesukin, mine, I didn't take care of the appropriate tithes, it's not fixed. Shachaveri mesukin, my friends, he took care of all the tithes. He's really careful in these spiritual matters. So that the Mishnah in Masechet Demai says that ain't a neman. Tanakama says, a chacham say that he's not believed. And the reason is because, first of all, he's an ama oretz, he's an ignoramus. he's not believed regarding the halachas of ma'isah that his friend took off the appropriate ma'isahs. Now, the novelty of this is that even though he's saying regarding his own stuff that they're not mesukin, moreover, he's not just saying that his friend took off ma'isah, he's saying other praises about it, his great produce, and he's saying what a great guy he is. He's still not believed to establish that his friend's produce was taken off the appropriate tais. And the reason is because this is what's called harama. They're doing a trick. Because each one tells the other, says, look, you say about mine that mine are good and you're bad, and I'll do the same thing for you in another place. So therefore the Chacham say he's not believed, and we give it the same status as we do for Amaratzim, that it's considered demai, and we won't consider it definitely Mesukin. Behuda Imran Eman. Behuda says that he is believed. So that seems to be the exact opposite of what we just described in the Braisa. Behuda is saying that we're not concerned. He is believed when it's one for the other. And the Chacham say not. Yet in what we just quoted before in the Braisa, similarly Rabbi Yehuda is concerned one for the other to that they'll do Gaimlin, and the Chacham are not. So the Gemara brings three explanations for this machlik is Yehuda and Rabbanan, and that it shouldn't be a contradiction. The first interpretation of the Gemara, Amar Rav Adbar Rav Amar Rav, he says very simply, he says, Mukhlef HaSashit, you're right. Obviously you have to turn the opinions backwards, and that it has to be attributed the other way around, because obviously it's the exact opposite of what it was quoted before. Abai gives a second answer. He says, "La'olam le'tepach, you don't have to switch it around. It's attributed correctly." Now, so how do we resolve the contradiction? The reason is that, truthfully, it's like we were saying before in our braisa, and as seemingly recorded in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda, he is chayish l'gaimun. Chacham are not chayish l'gaimun. But, b'dzimai he kilu. But although Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for Gaimlin, and that's why he says that one person cannot say about his friend that he's a kohen, and the other one saying about him that he's a kohen, tichruma, is because that maybe they will be Gaimel one to the other. But by Dimai, which is untithed, which is produce from an Amma Oretz, where we're not sure if he tithed it or not, there they were lenient, and the reason is because Rav Amma Oretz Masna, and the truth is, the majority of ignoramuses do take off their appropriate tithes. It's just that there are significant number that don't. Now, we're not sure about it if it's tithed or not. So since there's a very legitimate reason to think that it is, because most of them actually do take off ma'aser, and here we have one guy saying about the other friend that he went and took off the tithes, therefore we will believe him. So although, yes, Rabbi Yehuda is generally concerned about the concept of Gaimlin, here he won't be because anyways, there's reasons for us to think that the tithes were taken off. Amar Rava asked Nabaya, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha? What do you mean? You think it's only contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda? And what, the Rabbanan lay Kasha, and that the Rabbanan are not a contradiction? You answered only half of the equation. Rabbi Yehuda, you resolved. Well, what's with Rabbanan? What's shot by us that they're not concerned for Gaimlin, and over here by the case of the mind, they actually are concerned for Gaimlin? The opposite of Rabbi Yehuda. So, Elad Rabbi Yehuda lay Kasha Kadesha Ninan. You're right. You answered half the problem about because, although generally he is concerned, here he's not, because it's only Demai, where most of them anyways take off Ma'aser. Not Rabban, like Kasha, to answer the other half of the question, is Kid'amar Reb Chaim Bar Okva. And that is, why over here would we say that we would not believe them, although generally the Rabban are not concerned for Gaimlin, is because here we're talking about B'sheklei Umnasa B'yad. In other words, as the Gemara will illustrate, what Reb Chaim Bar Okva is talking about, he's talking about a different discussion, which was talking about that the one who's bringing his produce has his tools and utensils of his profession in his hand. So we could say Amid Beis. So Hachinami, we could say the same thing for the understanding of the Chachamim's opinion. In the Mishnah Masechtas Demai, is Tumah B'Shekleim Umnasa B'yad, when he has the tools of his profession in his hand. In other words, a Chamer, a donkey driver, when he brings his produce to sell. So then he would hold in his hand a certain tool to show that he's ready to sell. For example, there's something called a machak, where they would smooth out the measurements as you're selling it. Now, someone that's bringing it just for storage purposes doesn't carry that tool in his hand, which is showing that he's ready to sell. Now, here it's talking about that this guy who's denigrating his own produce is actually holding his kli umnas in his hand. Now, that illustrates definitely that his intention is to sell. Now, why, if his intention is to sell, is he downplaying his stuff and upgrading his stuff? Oh, must be because they're just in cahoots one with the other of Gaimel, and therefore he's going to sell it. It's just that this city, he says, okay, I'll make your stuff great, and that's how we'll get you to sell your stuff. Next city, it'll be my turn. And that's the understanding of why the Chacham, although they're generally not concerned with Gaimel, here they would be because there's actually incriminating indications that that is their intention to do gamola one with the other. Now the Gemara asks, so where is this case of where Reb Chama bar Okva said this same idea of when this clay umnis biyadai, which is a ramification of a different halacha, that we borrowed that concept for our halacha? That's a hadithnan. It's going on the Mishnah Masechtas Taras, where the Mishnah there says hakader, a potter, someone that makes pots, who, as Rashi points out, is a chaver, someone that's careful with the halachas of tumah taharah, so he makes sure that his pots are tahar. If shenich kedei reis, if he put his pots down, the yard lishtos and they bent down to drink, where the Girsan Argamar says mayim and ayar, water from the stream. Now, basically, is that he was distracted and he went down to drink. Hapanimis tahiris, so the inner pots closer to him are tar. Vachitzayin is tumeis, and the outer ones are tumei. And the Gemara will explain the exact understanding of this Mishnah. Now, but first the Gemara asks, and this is what we're quoting from that discussion where Reb Chaim bar Okva's answer comes in relevance, but Vatanya Elu Tumeis, but we learned that same case, the Brisa says, not that the inner ones are tar and the outer ones are tumei, but that they're both tumei. So that Amar Reb Chaim bar Okva, this is what we quoted from Reb Chaim bar Okva, where he says this same line that we so to speak borrowed for our sugya, is that the brisa that's talking about that they're all going to be tamei is b'sheklei umnasa b'yadis, when he's holding the utensils of his profession for selling in his hand, which is obviously he's illustrating, we're holding that he's ready to sell his stuff. Now that causes b'mnei hakol man, that means to say that so everyone's going to touch his stuff because they're inspecting it and purchasing it. Oh, so regular people that are amaratzim are going to be touching all his stuff because he's holding such a utensil, and they see, oh, he's obviously selling his stuff, so when he bends down to drink, they're going to touch it all. Therefore, we can assume that they're going to be tummy. But then the question is, and again, this is really what we wanted the Gemara for, is just to say this concept of kriyam nasa b'yadu, which means say that he's ready to sell. So for that halacha, it's that people will touch it. And for our halacha, it's that indicates that he really wants to sell, and therefore we should be concerned for gamelin. But the Gemara continues that discussion for that of the Mishnah Masechtas Taras. But Vatanya, but another question was, there's actually a Brayis that says Ilvil Taras, that actually both of them are Tahar. So we have the Mishnah in Taras that says Inner Tahar, Outer Tameh. We have the Brayis that says that they're both Tameh, which we just described as because Kliyam Nasbiyadi. But then we have another Brayis that says that they're both Tahar. So that Omar Chamba Okvi said that's Bisha and Kliyam Nasbiyadi. That's when he doesn't have his tool in his hands, and he's just going to touch his stuff. It doesn't look like he's ready to sell. So therefore, they're all going to be tar. But then the question is, then how do you understand that Mishnah Masechtas Taras that says a panim is tahiris, vachatzayin is tameis, hechi mishkachas la, how do you have that case? In other words, maman avshach. If he's holding the utensil, this clay umnes biyadai, then they all should be tame. If he's not holding it, they all should be tahar. How does the Mishnah Masechtas Taras have that inner tahar and outer tame? So that the Gemara answers, "Dismichel shasarab." We're talking about that he put his pots down by the edge of the public domain, umishum chifufi shasarab, and because of that, it's squishy. There's the rubbing of people in the shasarab. In other words, that what people would put on the sides of shasarab, they'd put large stones and pegs, because they didn't want that all the wagons and all the people that are walking in the public domain should destroy the walls of the residents that are on the side of a Rishus Rabbim. Now, since that makes it very narrow, the Rishus Rabbim, and this person puts his pots on the edge of a Rishus Rabbim, so that's also squishing the road, making it tight. So therefore, whoever's walking by is going to be rubbing by, and therefore their garments are going to be going over the ear space of where his pots are. Now, therefore, his outer pots are going to have the garments of the Amaratzim, which are Tameh, are going to be Metameh, the ones that are on the outside. And that's why the outer pots are Tameh and the inner ones are Tar, because only the garments of the Amaratzim are going to be coming near the outer pots, but not near the inner pots. That was the first two interpretations of the Machlekes of Yehudi Rabbanan to resolve either that we said Abchinan, you have to switch it around, or that, no, not Abchinan, but that, although yes, generally Rabbi Huda is considered for gamelin, here he won't be because it's only Dzimai, or that the Rabbanim generally are not concerned for gamelin, but here they would be because it's Kliyam Nas B'yadai. Now the Gemara says, V'yibay Yisim, if you want, you could say to explain the Machlekes Yehudi Rabbanan, that actually, that it wasn't talking about gamelin. It's not a contradiction regarding that Mishnah that we quoted, because Rabbi Huda Rabbanan, B'malin Mitrumah L'Yuchsin Kamifuke, what they are arguing about is do we elevate the status of a person from the fact that he eats truma, that, oh, it must be Zakayin, that we elevate him even to the status of Yuchsin, that he could go ahead and marry women that are miyuchasis, that would only marry someone like a Kayin. Behuda holds, someone that sees that a person's eating truma will say, obviously he's a Kayin. And he'll testify about him wherever he is that he's a Kayin. And that would be Malim Lu Yuchsin even when it comes time for a Shidduch. Therefore, if they'd give him to eat truma, you bring him to eat, to marry a woman, which everyone agrees, based on one person's testimony, you shouldn't be allowed him to have yichas. And therefore, Yehuda says, so therefore we don't even allow him to eat truma, because having him eat truma will be malam liyichas. But again, it's not because of the concept of gaimlin. It's not that he says, oh, wait a second. If we let, you can't have one person do for the other, because then they're going to do a favor on the other. No, that we see clearly from the mission that we quoted, that Yehuda is not concerned for gaimlin. So what do you mean? So what do we do with the halacha that we're quoting in the Braisa? That's not because of gaimlin that one person is not believed regarding his friend that he's a kain. It's just because we don't believe one person, but we do believe one person. Yes, we believe him, but if we believed him for truma, then we might come to believe him for yuchsin, and everyone agrees for yuchsin, you need two witnesses. Whereas Rabbanan said that we're not malum et truma yuchsin, and therefore there's no problem. For truma purposes, one person is believed, and for yuchsin, you need two. And we don't, and that's not a problem, because if someone's eating truma, they won't automatically think that then he's the same as a regular kayin for the ability to marry women that are miyuchasis. Now, continuing on this theme, the Gemara asked the following question. Ibailu that asked, "Mal lahalis mishtaris liyuchsin." So we had this machlekes regarding are we malah from truma liyuchsin. The question is, can we elevate the status of a person, meaning that he's being established that he's a kayin in a document, for being established as a kohen for yichas, for marrying a woman miyuchasas? So the Gemara explains, hey chedami, what's the case talking about? What does it mean that he's a kohen in the document? If it's written in the document, ani ployin kohen chasamti eid, when the witness is signed, say, right, this is me, such and such a person, that's a kohen, I've signed as a witness. So the question is, why would that be a reason to believe that he's a kohen, to say that he could even have a shidduch miyuchasas? Who's testifying regarding him? The fact that he signed his name like that, there's no two witnesses verifying that he is a kain. So the Gemara says, no, it's written in the document, ani pleini kain levisi manu mi pleini. It's tomat the borrower. The borrower is saying, me, such and such, a kain, I borrowed a mana from that person. And witnesses signed on the bottom of that document. So the question is, my? As the Gemara explains, is it that the witnesses are only testifying regarding the monetary exchange over here? And therefore, there's no evidence over here that this borrower is a kohen? Because that's not what they're certifying. They're just certifying regarding the loan. Maybe no. The witnesses are verifying everything in this document. One of the variables mentioned in the document is that he's a kohen. Therefore, you see that he's a kohen. And maybe therefore, he could even mal liyuchsin. So the Gemara says, it's a machlekes. Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, Chadam Amalan, one says you could elevate the status of a person by him being called a kain in the document to Yuchsin. But Chadam Amalan, one says you cannot. Similarly, the Gemara has the following question. Ibailu, Malahalas Minasiyas Kapayim Liyuchsin. What's the halacha? If you see a kain doing the Siyas Kapayim, what's called Tuchening, when he does the Birchas Kainim, can you then elevate him for the purposes of Yichas to marry a woman Miyuchasas? So the Gemara says, Tibayla mandam amal mitrumal yuchsin. You could ask this question whether according to the one that says generally your mala from trumal yuchsin. And with Tibayla mandam ain mal, you could ask the question even according to the one that says that you're not mala from trumal yuchsin. As the Gemara explains, Tibayla mandam amal, and you could ask the question according to the one that says that you are mala from trumal yuchsin. You could say, maybe hanamili truma, maybe that's only by truma, de avain misahu, that is a isra, it's a prohibition, which is a sin, that a person, if he's a czar, gets a punishment of death, so therefore, if he was a czar, he wouldn't be eating truma. So obviously, if he's eating truma, we could say that he's a real kain, and therefore, you can make him a shidduch miyuchasis, av nesiyas kapayim, but the fact that a person is doing nesiyas kapayim, which literally means lifting up the palms, which is what they do by Birchas Kanim, the Isser Aseh, where that is just a violation of a positive commandment. As the Pasuk says in Mimid B'Perek Vav, Kaisa Varchu, this is how you should bless, which is you, but not non-Kohanim. Now, a negative prohibition that's a derivation of a positive terminology only has the power of a positive commandment, then maybe light. Maybe they, we would say that's not obvious proof because, okay, he's just violating a positive commandment. Doesn't mean that he's definitely a Kohen. Well, maybe it doesn't make a difference that if we see him in this status of doing a Kahanic service, even if it's just Isra Asay, we could elevate him Liyuchsin. Now, similarly, to Bailamanda Einmal, so you could ask the question, even according to the one that says that you're not Mala from Truma Liyuchsin. And that's because Hanim Mili Truma, maybe when you see, when the person is consuming Truma, Truma is something that a person could eat in private, and therefore maybe that, you know, something seduced him to go ahead and eat Truma, but maybe he's not really a kohen. And therefore, there we're not Mala from Truma Liyuchsin. But doing Birchas Kohanim, which is done to the tzibur in public, ilav koinu, if it really wasn't a koyin, kule haylo machzef inish nafshe, no one have the audacity to get up there in front of everybody and do Birchas Kohanim if it's not really koyin, and therefore it's obviously that you could be malah from the Nesi'is Kepem Liyuchsin. A dimalish no, maybe no, maybe there's no difference. Just like Trumah we're not malah from Trumah Liyuchsin, so to Nesi'is Kepem we wouldn't be malah Liyuchsin. So the Gemara says, whether according to the mandama that you're malah from Trumah Liyuchsin or not, we have a machlekes, Rav Chisda v'Rav Avina. Chadam Amal, one says that you do elevate, but Chadam Einmal, the other one says you do not elevate from Nesi'is Kepem Liyuchsin. So too, the Gemara says, Amli Rav Nachman v'Yitzchok l'Rav, he asked him the same question. He says, Ma'u l'halas from Nesi'is Kepem Liyuchsin? Can you elevate a person's status that he's a kohen, as we see by Nesi'is Kepem, for the purposes of marrying someone that's miyuchasis? Amalai, so he answered him, Pluk to Rav Chisda v'Avina. This is a machlekes between Rav Chisda and Rav Avina. So he asked him, but Hilchas Amai, what's the halacha? What do we do? So Amalai, so he answered him, he says, look, I know Masniti Yadana, I know a Braisa, and that from there I could prove what's the correct halacha. The Tanakh Linda Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, he says, G'doyla Chazaka, a predisposition, Chazaka that has been established is very great, that a court of Bezdin cannot remove something from someone that he's already been established in that. Although we would generally say that you can't maintain what you have, but since you had this as a chazak already, so Bezdin can't remove that from you. Shem, like it says a pasuk in Ezra. The pasuk in Ezra says, "Umemnei ha-kahanim," that from the sons of the kahanim were the b'nei Chavaya and the b'nei Hakoitz and the b'nei Barzilai. Now, these families are shalakach memnois Barzilai ha-giladi isha. They took as wives from the daughters of Barzilai HaGiladi. And Vayukal Shemam, they were called on his name in the wife's family, they were called by that larger family. Now, Eila Bikstru Kisavam HaMasyachasim. These men, the families, the children of Chavaya and Akaitz and Barzilai, they were attempting to find their, what's called Ksav Yichus, which shows about their lineage to see who their ancestors were, to prove that they're Kahanim Kashem. And the reason is because what happened is that this is talking about when they were coming back for the second base of Migdash after Gullus Bavel. Now, in the time of the Gullus Bavel, there was a lot of intermarriage that the Kahanim had, and they had children, which, as it says in Sefer Ezra, and therefore those children would be Chalolim, because the Kahanim didn't marry the women that were appropriate for them. So therefore, all those children that were born in exile had to go ahead and prove their Yichus when they're coming up from the Gullus to be able to serve in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, because if you don't prove it, you might be a chol and you're not fit to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the pasuk here says v'lo nimtzo, that these families of Chavaya, these men, they weren't able to find their ksav yichus to prove that they're not b'nei chalal, and therefore v'yigoyalu min ha-kuhuna, they were invalidated from kuhuna because they couldn't prove that they're miyuchasis. Now v'yemer hartershasu, as it's proven in Sefer Nechemya, it was Nechemya himself, Nechemya ben Chakalia. So he told them, "Asher lo yoichlu mikodesh hakodeshim." Therefore, because it's not proven that you're valid kahanim, you cannot eat from the holy of the holies. Ad amoid koyin leurim, and the gears is ulutumim, until there's a koyin that has on what was in the chayshin was the urim v'tumim, which is a certain paper with Hashem's name. Only then will it be verified, and then you could go ahead and eat. But up until then, you cannot go ahead and partake from the Kiddush HaKadoshim. Now, Rashi explains that essentially that type of a phrase that he told them was like someone that tells his friend, says, look, you can't have from this until Mashiach comes. Which basically is saying, it really means for never, until like when, you know, when things are in totally in the future. Because actually, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, which they were entering, they didn't have the Umrah Tumah. As the Gemara Masechta Siyum Daf Chaf Alef Amud Beis explains, there were five things missing from the second Beis HaMikdash that were there in the first Beis HaMikdash, and one of them was the Umrah Tumah. So basically, in other words, he was telling them, until there's a Kohen Umrah Tumah, you can't eat from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, when Nehemiah told them, because you don't have your way of proving that you're Mechasis, you can't eat from Kodesh HaKadoshim, it sounds like that specifically from the Kodshei HaMikdash, from the sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, that he invalidated them. But Truma, that they were accustomed to eating up until now, even in Gullus Bavel, that he didn't make forbidden on them, because that they already were Muchzik in them, as the Gemara explains, Amlahem, what Nehemiah was telling them, which is Har Tishasa, Hare Atem Bechaz Kaschem, you are in what you were established up until now. B'maha Yisam Eichel Megalim, what you were already eating anyway as, so to speak, Kehanim, which you had assumed that you were, and you are, but maybe you're halalim, which you're not valid to go ahead and do the avodah Beis HaMikdash. But what up until now you were eating in the exile, which was Bekadosh HaGvul, which is what's a reference to Truma, because Truma is noyig in the whole Gvul, in the entire boundary of Eretz Yisrael, meaning beyond the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, which is not the case for Karbanos, which has to be either in the Beis HaMikdash or in Yerushalayim. So Afkan Bekadosh HaGvul, now also when we enter up into coming back to Eretz Yisrael, you could continue eating from Truma, which is called Kodesh HaGvul. Now, the proof that he's coming to bring is that from this, that Rabbi Yisi said, G'day l'chazaka, how great is the chazaka? Obviously, the Nesias Kapayim, Duchening, that he also didn't make forbidden on them, because that when they were in Galus, in Bavel, they also did that too. Not only did they eat Truma, they were also doing Birchas Kainim. Now, and that is where the proof is. If you would entertain that you elevate the Kayan status from the fact that he does Nesis Kabayim to Yuchasin, well, then Hani, Kivin de Parasi Adayu. So then these people, that these families of the Bnei Chavaya, Bnei Akkaitz, Bnei Razila, that they did Nesis Kabayim in Bavel, and that they're maintaining that now because that was Beches Kaschem, even when they come up to Eretz Yisrael. Asu lasu kinu, so then they're going to come to elevate them to the status of the other kahanim, which is for yichus and for doing the avodah Beis HaMikdash. And then the question is, so what would Nehemiah have gained by allowing them to maintain their old chazakas, but not letting the new ones? He's going to lose the point anyway. The point was not to let them do the avodah, but they're going to end up being elevated to that status by the fact of their nesias kapayim. So obviously, he wanted to prove that nesias kapayim were not mala to Yuchasin, because if he were, then Nehemiah wouldn't have gained what he was trying to have them avoid of not doing the avodah in Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a riot. Shani Hocha, here it's different, because yes, generally maybe we're mala minasis kapayim le-Yuchasin. But here, we don't have to be concerned that ultimately they will then end up elevating them to the status of regular kanim, because deri chaskayu, because their chazaka is already been made a little bit deficient. And the reason is because everybody sees the other kahanim, who are miyuchasas, that are eating the kachim, the karbanis, and the Beis HaMikdash. And they're seeing that these other ones are not. So there's a big discrepancy that they know that there must be something wrong with these kahanim. And so even though they're eating truma, and even though they're doing the sis kapayim, that's not problematic, because we know that they're not regular. But regarding other people, like, for example, Bezman Hazeh, when there are no karbanas, then yes, we could say that we are Milan Nesis Kapayim Liyuchsin. There's no proof that we would not be. Now, the Gemara actually even proves this. Because the Eli Temahachik, because if you don't say what we just answered, that it was on this that Nehemiah relied, because there's a discrepancy, and therefore no one will end up elevating them from Nesis Kapayim Liyuchsin. Then, if you didn't say this, then you could ask the same question regarding the Truma. And that is because Lamanda Amamal Mechum Liyuchsin, according to the pin that says that we elevate from consumption of truma to yuchasin, then kiven to achli b'truma, since, which is clearly that he allowed them to continue eating truma, which are kachay gvul. It's only kachay mikdash that he didn't allow them, but kachay gvul he allowed them to maintain that eating. Well, then asulasukinu, he's going to have them elevated, because that mandama holds we always elevate from truma liyuchasin. Elalav, rather, what do you have to say, as we answered regarding the mandam of Nesis Kepam Amal Liuchsin, is Meshum Dereiches Keyu, is because, again, their chazaka is deficient. So though that they're eating Truma, that won't bring, to even according to the mandam, in this situation, Liuchsin, because we could tell, obviously, that they're different than the other Kehanim. And the Gemara concludes, however, in the Tab of Chofei Amar Aleph, but Ve'alamai Gedoy L'Chazaka. So then, what exactly is Rabbi Yossi saying when he says, how great is a Chazaka? What would be the reason why they wouldn't be able to maintain their consumption of Truma that they had always been doing, that in the Seis Kabam, what they always had been doing? If you would say that that could bring, let's say, to a problematic situation of L'Yuchasin, so then maybe we could understand what, oh, it's so great the Chazaka that even though Bezmer would want to remove it from them, but we don't. But we just explained that there's no problem because we have this disparity. And therefore, there's no problems that's going to come out. And so why shouldn't they continue eating their Truma and their Nesis Kapayim, where even if he's a Chal, what's the halachic concern? So that the Gemara is that the how great is Chazak is that because Meikara Achal B'Truma D'Rabbanan. Because up until now, although there was a chazaka and they were eating truma, that was only rabbinic truma because they were in exile, they were in Bavel, where there's no biblical truma over there because any mitzvah that depends on the land, for example, tithes of produce, is only in Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Kedushin of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So what Rabbi Yossi is saying, how great is chazaka, that even though their chazaka for truma was only in rabbinic truma up until now, hashta achal b'truma deraisa. Based on that chazak, it's so great that they could even continue eating truma, even though now it's a whole new thing. It's not just rabbinic truma, it's even going to be, even through what we call gadol chazaka, to continue eating truma, even regarding biblical truma.